Today's shir is Masechta Shabbos, Daf Samach Hei. We will begin on Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. It says the Gemara, Amar Yehuda Marav, Kamak M'sha'asra Chamim Bnei Maris Ayin. Whenever Chazal said that something is also because of Maris Ayin, that people shouldn't accuse you that you're doing something wrong, that Allah applies Afilu B'chadri Chadorim, even if you're doing it in a very private place. So the Pnei Yeshua explains how does the sugya of Maris Ayin come into this sugya. So he says that we learned in yesterday's shir that everything that the Mishnah said that a woman may not wear any jewelry is also even in the Chatzar. That was the opinion of Rav. And we would think that maybe Rav said this because it's common for women to wear this piece of jewelry in the street. And therefore, we're concerned, says Rav, that if she's going to wear it in the chatzor, she may come to wear it even in the shusha rabbim. Teaches us the Gemara that we don't actually say that. And the reason that whenever Chazal said something is usur, they say it's usur under all circumstances, and they don't start make differentiations. The reason Chazal said that Maris Ayin is even usur b'chadri chadorim is because we're concerned that somebody, well, you don't think anybody sees you, but they really do see you. And because of that, Chazal said that under all circumstances, if it's also because of Maris Ayin, it's always also. Asked the Gemara, Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah of Veloy Bezug, that an animal may now walk out on Shabbos wearing a bell, Av Pishapokuk, even if it's missing its clapper. And we explained, because there's a concern of Maris Ayin that people will think that he's taking the animal to be sold on Shabbos. V'tana Allah. And we learned the brisa regarding that Mishnah. Poikig lozob tzavara. You can't take out the bell. U'metayli ma b'chotzer. And walk with it in the chotzer. But if the Isser asked the Gemara is because of Maris Ayin, so then it should be usur even under those circumstances. Answers the Gemara. This issue, if Maris Ayin is even also b'chadri chadorim or not, is actually tanoihi. It's a machlokes tanoim. The Tanya, the Brisa says, shoytchem b'chama, if somebody's clothing got wet on Shabbos, the loch is you could put it out in the sun to dry, avaloi kenegra am. You can't put it in a place where people will see. Because if people see, they'll accuse you that you wash your clothing on Shabbos. Of course, you're not allowed to wash clothing on Shabbos. Rabbi Elazar of Shimon Oisrim, they say, but if it's not Kenegra Am, if it's in a place where nobody will see, so they hold its mutter. Rabbi Elazar of Shimon Oisrim, even not everywhere. Obviously, what is the Machlaikas? The Machlaikas is, how do we look at Maris Ayin? Tanakam says it's only in a public place, and the other one holds, Rabbi Elazar of Shimon hold, that if something's us because of Maris Ayin, it's always us. I saw that the Sefer Sharon B'Tzion B'Alocha makes a very important point. He says there are two different concepts in Halacha. He says in Halacha, there's a concept of Maris Ayin, and in Halacha, there's a concept of Chshad. He says, even though, as we're learning in our Gemara, there's a Machloikis, if Maris Ayin is also b'chadri chadorim, or it's not also b'chadri chadorim. He says, when it comes to chshad, Chazal made a gzeira of chshad, there's no difference, and chshad is always much more stringent. That's why the halacha, for example, at Chanukah, if somebody has a house on two sides of the street, the halacha is you have to light the menorah on both sides, because of chshad. That people shouldn't accuse you that you didn't light the Chanukah menorah. The Rishonim and the Achronim use this Gemara for a very important discussion. It's an issue, it's a subject that we've discussed previously in our shiur. The Isser in our Gemara is an Isser derabbanan, walking out with jewelry on Shabbos, or putting something out to dry. So the question is, when Chazal make a gzeira of Maris Ayin, do they make it even by a Darabonan, or they make the Gzeir of Maris Ayin even by a Daraisa. Only by a Daraisa, even by a Darabonan. It seems that from our Gemara we have a Raya, the Maris Ayin is even done, is even a Gzeir by the Rabbonans, which, as we mentioned previously, it's a discussion if there's a concern. The Shulchan Aruch says, in their world, where parv milk wasn't common, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins that if you're going to eat meat and have parv milk or margarine on the table, you have to have a sign saying that this is parv. Again, in our world where it's so common, that rule doesn't apply. So the question that the Shach discusses there, is this only by meat, where the issa to eat meat and milk is a deraisa, or even by poultry, where the issa is only an issa derabonan? Our Gemara seems to be a raya that even by derabonan. Although I did see that there's some opinions that want to differentiate between something which has a makor in the Torah, carrying is an issa deraisa, versus something which has no makor in the Torah. There's a very interesting point that Rav Moshe Zatzal makes regarding Maris Ayin in the Shailos HaTshuvos, Igros Moshe, Oyre Chaim, Chelek Aleph, Siman Tzadik Vav. Rav Moshe says that when is there a Gzeira of Maris Ayin? He says Maris Ayin is said where something is normally done b'derech Osir, and even though I didn't do it b'derech Osir, Chazal made a Gzeir Maris Ayin. Let's think about our Gemara. Usually, when does somebody put out his clothing to dry? When he washed them, and then he puts them out to dry. And washing clothing, obviously, is also on Shabbos. But says Rav Moshe, that if something is usually done in a permissible manner, in a manner which is not Osir L'Halacha, and sometimes it could be done in a non-permissible way, there we don't say Maris Ayin. In other words, Rav Moshe says, Chazal did not just throw around the Gzeira of Maris Ayin. And only where there's a real concern that people are going to think that you did something wrong, that Chazal make a Gzeira Maris Ayin. Otherwise, Chazal did not make such Gzeiras. We learned further in the Mishnah that a woman may go out b'moich sheba ozna, with a piece of cotton on her ear. Tanur Rabbi Cheskel, to which Rabbi Cheskel comments, who should kosher b'ozna? It has to be tied to her ear. If it's not tied to her ear, then we have to be concerned that it may fall out and she'll come to carry it. So based on that, says the Gemara, that other things where we don't have to worry with that's going to fall out, then we don't even need that to be tied. And the Shulchan Aruch paskins like Rami Bechama, that you could only go out with a cotton, with a wad in the ear, if it's tightly inserted in the ear and it's tied. But it says the Sefer Chesed Yeshua that you're allowed to put a cotton into your ear, even without tying to the ear, and go out with it on Shabbos. He says, since a cotton ball is very white and clean, and if it's going to fall on the floor, nobody's going to pick it up and carry it, so therefore it can be carried, it can be put into the ear even if it's not tied. The Barshag says even further. When our Gemara says it has to be tied to the ear, it doesn't mean that it actually has to be tied to the ear. What it means is it has to be put into the ear securely. And since it's put securely into the ear, that it's not likely to fall out, the halacha is that you can wear it that way on Shabbos. As we mentioned in our previous year, there's another very important point that we learn from this halacha. If we go back to the beginning of this perek, the Gemara explained that another thing that you're not allowed to wear on Shabbos, another reason why you're not allowed to wear certain items on Shabbos, because dimma misram le tefillah shel mitzvah, maybe a woman's going to have to go to the mikvah, take out this object, and then not put it back in, but carry it home. So the question is, if a woman has some sort of an ear ailment, and she's not allowed to have water in her ear. Is she allowed to put cotton into the ear and go to the mikveh that way? So our Gemara could be a raya that it's not a chatzitza. Because if it would be a chatzitza, then the halacha would be that she should not be allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Forget about the issue of carrying it, falling out and carrying. The issue is she may go to the mikveh and then take it out. The fact that the Gemara isn't concerned with that is an indication that something put into the ear is not considered a chatzitza. And the same question comes up regarding false teeth. Are false teeth a chatzitza when a woman goes to the mikveh? So the Imre Yesh paskins that if the woman plans to leave that false tooth forever in her mouth, it's considered a chatzitza. If not a chatzitza, but if she intends to have it removed, is a chatzitza. And the Imre Yesh therefore says, even by the cotton in the ear, if it's not meant to be there permanently, it would be chatzitza. However, the Chalkus Yoyev says that you don't have to have forever. Forever is a very big word. As long as there is an intention to keep it there for 7 days, whether it's the false tooth, whether it's the cotton in the ear, it's not a chatzitza. But the Masham makes a very important point that you have to make sure that the cotton is very deep in the ear. If it's on the outside, it could be more of a concern. It comes on to the issue of Tumas Beis Hastarim, which is not today's shir. Continues the Gemara, Ubemarcha Sandla, a woman could put a wad into her shoe and go out on Shabbos. Tanurama Becheskel, again, if only permissible, if Koshla Besandla, if it's tied to her shoe. So since it's tied to her shoe, then we're not worried it's going to fall out. The Ritva says that it's only if the shoe, if it's open shoe. So if it's an open shoe, that's when we have to be concerned that the pad that she's putting into her shoe may fall out. And you have to make sure to put it in a way that it won't fall out. But let's say the shoe is completely closed, so there's no reason that the pad will fall out, then even if it's not glued in or tied in, it will be mutter. We learned further in the Mishnah, a sanitary napkin may be worn. Again, that only if it's tied there is it permitted to be worn on Shabbos. Amar Rava, says Rava, it doesn't have to be tied there. Kiven the mos, since if it would fall out, it's something that's repulsive. So we're not concerned, we're not concerned that she's going to take it out, and therefore she could wear it on Shabbos. Barmine Rabbi Yimri Rabbi Abba, Asusallah Beis Yad. If she made for this moich a handle, that she doesn't have to actually touch it. So now, are we going to be concerned that if it falls out, she may carry it, and therefore it should be Asur. Amalei, Mutter. Even if it has a Beis Yad, women aren't going to carry it, and we need not be concerned. Even if it has a Beis Yad, mutter. Rav Yochanan, Nofik Behula B'Medrasha, Rav Yochanan would go out to the Beis Medrash with a wad in his ear, and his colleagues were upset. The Pashup Shat, because he walked out to Rosh Hashanah with this wad in his ear. Rav Yanai Nafik Be'el Karmelis. Rav Yanai walked, that it may fall out and he'll carry it. Rav Yanai Nafik Be'el Karmelis. Rav Yanai wore this wad in the Karmelis for Chalukalav Chachmei Doirei, that everybody disagreed with him and said, you're not allowed to walk out that way on Shabbos because a Karmelis has the same din as Sarabim, and in both situations, you're not allowed to walk out that way. Asked the Gemara, how could Rabbi Yochanan have walked out that way? But Tani Ram Be'yecheskel, then we start earlier in our Shia teaching that you're only allowed to walk out with the wad in the ear if a Koshloi Ba'aznar. So how could he walk out that way? Answers the Gemara, Loikasha. Hadam a headache. If it's put in tight, we need not be concerned. V'ha, d'loy mehedek. And that's when it's not tight, then we have to be concerned. So now we could understand the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan, this is the way Rashi explains the Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan walked out with the wad when it was tight in his ear. And therefore, it was permissible. Rabbi Bechaskel says you have to be tired. He was only speaking when it's not tight in the ear. But if it's not tight on the ear, then it's a problem. That's the way Rashi explains the Gemara. The rabbis of Rashi explain that Rabbi Yochanan walked out when it was tied to his ear, and it seems that even that he only allowed when he was walking not in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And the question is, because he was going directly from his home to the Beis Medrash, not through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. And the question is that if it's tied, you could even go to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So the answer is that even though it was tied, it also has to be tight. Says the Gemara, "Pilpul begelgel o b'melech." We said that a woman is allowed to go out on Shabbos with this pilpul as a peppercorn or begargel melech or with salt. That's how a woman's allowed to go out on Shabbos. Pilpul, why did they go out with pepper in the mouth? Le reich haper, to prevent bad breath. For gilgal melech, and salt was carried le dorshini, with some sort of a tooth disease. The b'kol davish nois l'tachpia, when anything else that she put into her mouth, which is that zangbila, is ginger. Inami, detsuna, cinnamon. Again, these were different items, foods that were put into the mouth for bad breath. Shein tetevzes, shein shalzov, a false tooth made out of gold. So the Mishnah said shein tetevzes is a false tooth, and shein shalzov is a gold tooth. Rebbe matav cham oisrim, says the Gemara. Am Rebbe loy shanu. When the Mishnah said the cham oisrim, they only were talking about shalzov, by a gold tooth. And there's three pshatim how to learn the Gemara. We're going to learn, one pshat is that the consideration is that she's going to take it out to show off. Another pshat is that the consideration is that it's going to fall out. And since there's a concern that it's going to fall out, somebody's going to pick it up to carry it. And the third consideration is it's embarrassing to have this type of tooth. And because of that, the woman is going to be embarrassed and take it out. So therefore, by Shein Shalzov, so we're going to learn the Gemara with Rashi's Pshat, that since it's significant, so there's a concern that she's going to take it out to show off. Ava B'Shal Kesef, if it's made out of silver, L'divrei HaKamutah, you're allowed to wear it, because that's not something you're going to go show off. The other Pshatim also work. If it's made out of gold, it's noticeable, and therefore people are going to ridicule her if she may take it out. The other materials which are not that noticeable, she's not going to take out. Or the third shot, if it's made out of gold, so it's expensive, so if it's going to fall out, she's going to pick it up. If it's made out of the other materials, it's not that expensive, she'll leave it where it is. Tanya nami hachi, bishal kesef, if it's made out of silver, divrei hakol mutar, bishazov, we have the machloikis Rebbe Matav Cham Oisrim. So we see from here that Rebbe is lenient even by the gold tooth, and we're not concerned, according to Rebbe, that she's going to show it off, because showing it off involves showing that she's missing a tooth. Amar Abaya. And whenever it involves something which is embarrassing to the woman, we're not concerned that she's going to do it. Says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Rebbe, Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Shimon Alozo, Kula Sfir Luhu, they are all of the opinion, the Kol Migi, the Mignabei, anything that involves embarrassment to the women, we're not worried that she's going to come to carry. Rebbe, Hoda Morin, like we just learned, we're not worried that she's going to show off her gold tooth, because it shows that she's missing teeth, it's embarrassment. Rebbe Elazar, the Tanya, Rebbe Elazar, Poita, Bekavelis. We spoke about the packet that had in it perfume, that we're not worried, says Rabbi Elazar, that she's going to take it off. Because why did women wear such a packet? Because they had a bad odor. And no woman's going to show off that she has a bad odor. Rav Shimon Elazar, where do we see Rav Shimon Elazar holds this way? The Tanya, we learned to the Braisa. Klal Amar Rav Shimon Elazar. Kol Shulamatim in a Sifcha. Any hat that's worn under the hair, Yoitzaba. That would involve that if she took off the hat, her hair would be exposed. She could wear on Shabbos. Lamalim in a Sifcha. But if it doesn't involve exposing the hair, any Yoitzaba. So the same point. If, says Rav Shimon ben Elazar, if there's any embarrassment involved in what she's doing, we need not be concerned. So here too, there's embarrassment involved in exposing her hair, therefore there's no need for concern. Says the Mishnah, Yoitza Besela She'alatzinus. As the Gemara will explain, they used to wear a coin that they put on a tzinus, that's if a woman had a type of a disease that they're allowed to wear it on Shabbos. Habonus ktanus yoitzes bechutzos bechutin. As we explained earlier, that vafil bekisman, they used to pierce the ears of girls when they were very young, but they didn't buy them earrings. So to prevent the hole from closing up, they used to put threads or splinters into the ear. And because they were not put there tightly, they were not a chatzitza, and also because they're not significant, so all the concerns that we're learning in the Mishnah are not relevant. The concern that they're going to show off, it's a thread, it's a splinter. People don't show that off. And the concern that they may have to go to the mikveh and take it out, since they're there not tight, then the halacha is that it's mutter. Continues the Mishnah. Yoitz ha'arvius. Jewish women who lived in Arab countries, yoitz ha'ru'ulis. Go out with the scarves, the headcloths wrapped around the head. Or midyois, women who live in Midyon, go out with prutois, go out with their cloak fastened with stones or knots. The Gemara will explain this. The Kol Adam, really this halacha applies to everyone. Ella, Shedibra Chacham Behaiva. They spoke about the normal case. That's the way they go out. So it's a very interesting Rashi. Rashi, when it describes Ru'ulis, says Yoitzis Ru'ulis, Derech Arvius, it was the common in the Arab countries, even today, Lias mutus roish of apneim, that their entire face was covered, chutz minainayim, except for the eyes, for karlei b'loshen avri ru'ulis. So the Michas Elazar, in his sefer, Nemukei Arachayim, discusses this Gemara. He says, we know that every morning when we put on the tzitzis, we put on Hatifas Yishma'elim. He says a lot of people when they put on the talus around their head, and when they make the bracha, even have their eyes covered. So says the Michas Elazar. He says our Rashi clearly says that when Yishma'elim Arabs cover their face, they leave their eyes exposed, and therefore says the Michas Elazar, it's important that when you do the atifa with the talus, not to cover your eyes. And he says it's also practical. It's not practical to assume that the Yishma'elim would cover their eyes with the head covering. How would they ever be able to walk in the street and see where they're going? However, the Shulchan Aruch Rav does seem to say that they used to cover even their eyes as well. And that seems to be the minig in many different communities. I remember once seeing that the Michas Elazar's issue that he raises in the Mukhei Arachayim is a very strong question. That isn't who's going to walk around with their eyes covered? So they want to explain, Atifas Yishmaelim is when the Yishmaelim, it's not how they walk around all day. Indeed, the way they walk around all day is not with their eyes completely covered. Who could walk around with their eyes completely covered? It means that when they put on their head covering, that moment, they cover their entire face. And that's what we should do when we put on the tzitzis. Says the Mishnah, V'chol Adam, anybody could go that way. We spoke about what's common. But I saw that the Rishonim explained that it doesn't mean that everybody could walk around that way. It only means people who typically walk around that way. Continues the Mishnah. Perepisal oven. A woman could use a stone to fasten her coat. Val egois, a nut. Val matbeya. And she could use a coin. Unless she doesn't use these materials, or we'll see what this means in the Gemara, for the first time on Shabbos. So the first thing the Gemara discussed, the Mishnah discussed, was the tzinis. Ask the Gemara, my tzinis, says the Gemara, bas ara. It's a wound on the sole of the foot, and therefore you need to wear a sela to heal that wound. Ask the Gemara, maishna sela. So why did they designate a coin? Ilay makol mida de kusha malala. If you're going to say that anything hard is good, so she could use an earthenware shard for that purpose. Elamashum shuksa. You need to have silver, a silver piece generates moisture. And the moisture is necessary to heal this wound. So ask the Gemara, so then levelay tasa. So just take a piece of silver plate. Why a coin? Elamashum tsurasa. Because you have to have the engravement. So ask the Gemara, leva lepulsa. So then take a piece of wood and engrave it. Answers the Gemara, Amra Baya, Shmamina Kula Malala. You need to have all three. You have to have that it's hard, it has to be moist, that's why you need silver, and it also has to be engraved, and that's why it needs to be a coin. The only item, the only object that has all of these three characteristics is a coin, and that's why they needed to use a coin on Shabbos. We learned in the Mishnah, Abanas Yoytzes Pechutin. But says the Gemara, Avu de Shmuel Shavak Le Lebantse de Nafke Pechutin. He did not allow his daughters to go out with these threads in the ear on Shabbos. V'loi Shavak Lo Ganye Begabe Adodi. He did not allow his daughters to sleep next to each other. Umafts B'yom Tishrei, and he made mats for the river when his daughters went to the mikveh in Tishrei. And the Gemara is going to explain every one of them. First thing, L'shavas lo yoytzes pechutin, he did not allow his daughters to go out with threads in their ear on Shabbos. Ask the Gemara, why not? For Anantanam, we just learned in the Mishnah, Bonas yoytzes pechutin, that they may go out that way in Shabbos. Answers the Gemara, Bantzei Davud Shmuel, the Tzavoinim Hava. They were colored, and since they were colored, they were very nice, and therefore, they were the type of threads that they will take off to show off and maybe come to carry. That's Rashi's pshat. Another pshat is that the Ritva suggests that Shmuel knew his daughters, and he says, usually, if it's just threads, it's not something that a woman will show off. But he knew his daughters had the tendency to show off everything, and therefore they were concerned. He was concerned that they would show off these threads as well. A third pshat that I saw is that, of course, Shmuel knew the Mishnah, and the halacha is that it's mutter. But Shmuel was concerned, knew his daughter. Shmuel was machmer on his daughters. Continues the Gemara. He also lo shafkul ganya gabe hadodi. He did not allow his daughters to sleep next to each other. Lame Masaila Rafuna. This supports Rav Huna's opinion. Dam Rav Huna, Noshin Hamalu Sulala Zubazu, women who sleep next to each other, Psulus Lakuna. Even though if a woman had a relationship with another woman, that's not awesome deraisa. But the Torah says regarding the Kohen Gadol, Ki im Besulov Mi'amav yikach isha. Isha zayin v'chalala lo yikachu. So the Torah is very makbid on a Kohen Gadol may marry. So even though in the time of Shmuel, there was no Kohen Gadol, but Shmuel wanted that his daughter should be in the category of women who can marry a Kohen Gadol. And therefore, Shmuel did not allow his daughters to sleep next to each other. There are other Rishonim that disagree, and they say this was Rashi's pshat, that's only a Kohen Gadol that cannot marry such a girl. Other Rishonim say that even a Kohen Hedyot can't marry such a woman. A woman who acted this way is in the category of a Zoyna, and a Kohen Gadol, even a Kohen Hedyot may not marry a Zoyna. Loi. So is that the reason why Shmuel didn't let them sleep next to each other? Says, well, not because he agreed with Rav Huna. He just he didn't want his daughters to get used to sleeping next to some, need to sleep next to someone else. And because he didn't want his daughters to be not to sleep next to somebody else, therefore, don't even sleep next to women, not next to men. So, the next thing we learned was, he made that they should have a mikveh in Nisan, and they can't go to the mikveh in the river. So a word of introduction is in order. The halacha is that there are two types of bodies of water that if somebody needs to immerse themselves, they could use. Mikveh is a pool of rainwater. And since it's a pool of rainwater, the halacha is it has to be standing water. That's the type of a mikveh that's kosher for a mikveh. Then you also have a river. A river is flowing water. But if it's a river, then it could be flowing. Rainwater has to be a pool. Rainwater can't be flowing. And now what happened was, and as I saw the Mefarshim explain, because the Gemara says that he made it for his daughters, the Gemara doesn't speak about his wife. So the Rishonim explain that his wife did not live near the river. So whenever she needed a mikveh, she went to the mikveh. His daughters live near a river. And since they live near a river, they would normally use the river for a mikveh. The problem is, as the Gemara is about to explain, that after the winter, we know in the Middle East, it rains in the winter, not in the summer. So after the winter, Nisan, after the winter, there was a concern that much of the water that is in the river is not really rainwater. Much of the water is not really natural water, it's rainwater. And because there was a concern that it's rainwater, we have to be concerned that it should not be flowing. It should be at a pool. And of course it wasn't. If it's a river, it's pooling. It's flowing. And therefore, to avoid that may not be a kosher place to immerse yourself, that's why Shmuel made a mikveh for his daughters in Nisan, that they should go there to the mikveh, not anywhere else. So, of course, the Ritva asks a question. When we go to the mikveh, any mikveh that we go to nowadays, typically, the mikveh that we actually immerse ourselves in is not rainwater. It's connected with a shaka to a bar, to a place where there's rainwater. And the fact that it's connected should be enough. So the question is, why is this mikveh, even though it has in it a lot of rainwater, not kosher, it's connected to the flowing water, and Hashaka should make it fine. So the Ritva answers that when does Hashaka work? Hashaka works only by Mayim Shuvim. Mayim Shuvim means that you have to use rainwater that came directly down from the sky, not that you got it from the sink. Since the psul of Mayim Shuvim is only midrabbanan, so that's where Chazal said Hashaka will make your mikveh kosher. But in our situation, where The rainwater, which came down directly from the sky, is not stationary. It's flowing. There, Hashoka wouldn't work. The Trumas Adeshin says a different pshat. He says that if it was always that way, then Hashoka doesn't work. You know, Hashoka can't work to make the mikveh into kosher mikveh that way. The Chasam Sofer says that Hashoka doesn't work because Mayim Shuvim and the water in and the rainwater are all the same. He says rainwater and river water are considered two different types of water. And since they're considered two different types of water, I can't say Hashoka. But then Tosfos asks a question: why don't we say that as the rainwater falls into the mikveh, it should be bottled one at a time? There's a concept of kama bottle. So Tosfos says that means every drop of rainwater as it falls in to the river should become bottled to the water in the river. So Tosfos says you can't rely on kama bottle when at the end of the day you're going to have more issa than heter. So if you're going to have at the end more rainwater than river water, even though it was bottled as it fell in, you can't rely on bittel. Another teretz that Tosfos says is Tosfos in Besachta Baba Kama, that we only rely on kama bottle when by a derabbanan. Here we're dealing with a tefillah d'oraisa. Another teretz that Tosfos says there is you only say kama bottle when it falls in a little at a time. And it's not necessarily going to be that what fell in will be the majority. But in a case where it's going to be that way, we don't say kama bottle. The Miri says the kama bottle is only said when a person is pouring something in. B'day Shemai, we don't say kama bottle. So we saw that, going back to our Gemara, that Shmuel made them a mikveh b'yom nissen, b'sayle l'rav, Dama Rav, Mitra Bar Merova, when there's a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael, which is to the west of Bavel, Sada Rabba Pras. We see that the Pras overflows. And therefore, Shmuel was concerned, as we've been explaining, Shema Yirbu Hanoit from Al Zoichlim. There may be more rainwater in this river than the natural water in the river. But rainwater is only kosher for a mikveh when it's stationary. This is flowing, and therefore he said he can't use it. And therefore, in that time of the year, he said, I have to build them a mikveh. I can't let them go to the river. There's a big discussion. What was it, only Nisan, as we'll see, or was it the entire spring and summer that he had this concern? On Pliga de Shmuel, says this opinion is in disagreement with what Shmuel taught us other ways, that Shmuel taught us, Nara Mekipid Mer. Whenever you see that the river is overfull, it's not from any abundance of rainwater that fell into it. It must be that itself, from its natural spring, overflows. And therefore, even though it's flowing, it's 100% kosher. Says the Gemara, we'll plead the day of the day. And actually, in a way, Shmuel is self-contradictory. Dama Shmuel, ain't a mayim mitarim b'zoichlim. You can't go into a river, ela pras, that it always flows, uv'yom tisha b'vad. That's when there's no rain. But the rest of the year, that we have to be concerned about the rainwater, that, and not like we just learned, that it always is from its natural source. We learned also, I didn't explain this, that he made mats. So there's two pshatim that he made mats. The posh pshat that he made mats is that he was concerned that his daughters should not get dirt on their feet and it would be a chatzitza. So there's two pshatim. Some say it means they made mat in the mikveh so that they, when they went, as we just learned, in Tishrei, where there's no concern that the river is dirty from that there's abundance of rainwater. It's after the summer where it didn't rain the entire summer. You could go in the river, but the bottom of the river is dirty, from the mud. So the Pashup Pshat is he made mats at the bottom of the river. Many Rishonim have an issue with that Pshat because their concern with that Pshat is that the Mishnayis and Masechta Mikvos seem not to be concerned with the dirt that's on the floor of the mikvah. So they learn that the mats were made not at the floor of the river, but they were made at the beach. That before the woman and before his daughters entered the water, they should make sure that they remain clean and they didn't get dirty. So there were mats on the beach. And the third pshat, we're not talking about horizontal mats. We're actually talking about vertical mats. And the mats were put up as a mechitza around the river for when they would go to the mikveh, they should have a mechitza around themselves. Because he wanted his daughters not to feel rushed when they're going into the mikveh. So how did he make sure that they shouldn't feel rushed? If they're going to be standing there without any clothing, then they're going to be uncomfortable. So what he did was he made mechitzas around the area like that. His daughters won't feel uncomfortable and they won't feel rushed when they're going to the mikvah. We learned in the Mishnah, perepis al oven, a woman could fasten her cloak with a stone, a nut, or a coin. But we learned in the Mishnah, as long as she doesn't do this before, v'atzer tifraleim l'chatchila b'shabbos. Ask the Gemara, v'amrit, but first the Mishnah said, v'amrit resha perepis, that she could fasten these items on Shabbos. So first the Mishnah said that it's completely mutter, and then the Mishnah says that only if she did it before Shabbos. How do we reconcile this? Amar Abaye is safer. The Sefer, the Mishnah, says you can't do this l'chatchil on Shabbos. It's only mut if you did it before Shabbos. It's talking that you're using a coin. And as we've learned earlier in the Masechta, the stone is muksa, the coin is muksa. Unless it was designated before Shabbos to be used, that will make it not muksa. So, of course, the Rajba asks that a stone is also muksa. And therefore, just like you have to designate the coin, you should have to designate the stone. So he says, the Ran answers, that a stone which is used for fastening a cloak, so any designation is significant to make it not muksa. By a coin, yeah, it's usable as a coin. And therefore, since it's usable as a coin, unless it was actually used before Shabbos, that's the only designation that will be adequate to take away the muksa status. Ask the Gemara. Baya baya. Isha ma'al shetarim v'tifrif. Al egois l'hoitz l'bna akot m'shabbos. We're learning that you're allowed to use a nut to fasten your clothing. And a woman has a child outdoors who wants a nut. So she do a haroma, meaning she'll use the nut that to close her coat. Like that, she'll be able to transport her nut outside. The Gemara, later in our Masechta, Daf Kuf Chof Amar Aleph, quotes a Machloikis Tanoim. That if Chas V'Shalom, there's a fire on Shabbos, and we're obviously not talking about a situation of Sakonis Nefoshes. How many articles of clothing could a person put on to get out of the home where there's a fire to save them from the fire? Rameya holds that you could put on as much as you want. You could put on 10 jackets, 10 coats, one on top of each other. And Rabbi Yossi holds that no, you could only wear what you normally wear. Why does Rabbi Yossi say that? Rabbi Yossi says that we're concerned that if we're going to allow you to do more than that, you may come to forget that it's Shabbos and you'll extinguish the fire. Reb Meir holds, since I'm only allowing you to do this b'derech levisha, wearing the clothing, then you're allowed, that will remind you that it's Shabbos and you won't make any mistake. So we see, l'man d'amar mariven, this question says, l'man d'amar mariven, that allows us to wear many clothing, the opinion of Reb Meir. But to boil a man the Amma, a Mariven. And if it's a question according to the other opinion, Rabbi Yossi's opinion as well. The Gemara explains itself. Maybe the reason over there we let you do this, because we have to give you some leeway, because we won't give you any leeway, chas v'shalom, we're concerned you may come to explicitly extinguish the fire in Shabbos. Aval hocha, by the woman who's wearing the stone, Eloi Sharsley, so if we won't let her take the stone out, so it's not the end of the world, Lo Yasla Fuke, and therefore we won't let her take the stone out for this purpose. Oidama, I feel a man dama emarim v'deleika, that by the fire we're being strict, hosom derech etzabekach. That's the way people carry, and since people carry that way, but it's not a malbush because people don't wear 10 coats, so therefore it's osur. Aval hocha ein derech etzabekach klal. There's nothing wrong. It's totally klachiyad, carrying something like a stone. That's not the way you carry something to take it out. Maybe shapadami, we should be lenient. So the Gemara says the two situations are not comparable, and therefore the question over here remains with a teiku.